This morning I'm wrapping up a three-week series on discipleship. So as we are going to enter this season of Lent, we've taken the last 3 weeks to sort of take a break and look at what does it mean for us to be followers of Jesus. And I've called this series simple, not meaning easy, but clear. And I've repeated that the last couple of weeks, that that's what we mean when we say simple. We're talking about clear. And hopefully we've given you some tools to do just that, to have this clear understanding of what it means to follow Jesus and be a disciple of Jesus in this place. So today we wrap that one up, and a little bit of a recap of where we've been in that and where this is going, that we've talked about that in conjunction with our mission statement, to love and to grow and to serve, that we love God, we grow relationships, and we serve community. We've talked about that in directions, right? That discipleship has an upward direction, an inward direction, and an outward direction. So we've given some of these things for us to remember this by, so that when we think about discipleship, what it means to follow Jesus, to follow God, that we have some things that we all do together, sort of the same way, on the same pace, so that when somebody would come into this place, into this church, and ask, so what does it mean to be a disciple here? How do you follow God here? That hopefully we would all give something of the same answer to that. That we're not going in a million directions at once, but we're all sort of working in the same direction. We all have this clear, simple understanding of what it means to follow God in this place and to do that. So we've looked at that over the last couple of weeks. We began by that upward discipleship, where we look at what it means to love God, and to love God is to know Him. Because you have to know Him to love Him. And God reveals Himself to us through His Word so that we can know Him and love Him. Last week we talked about that inward discipleship, what it means to grow relationships. Not just acquaintances, people we know about, but relationships that we sustain and support, and we hold one another up in faith, and how important that is for us to grow as disciples, that we grow in relationships with one another to do that. And now then, today we conclude that with outward discipleship, what it means for us to serve community, to be people who use what God has given to us to reach out to others. So that's how we pull that through today. And I'm going to illustrate that today using a passage that comes from Matthew 25. This is a parable of Jesus, Matthew 25. Where Jesus tells this story, beginning at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The King will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So a little something of what's going on in this passage before we bring this into our idea of outward discipleship. This is in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew writes his gospel to the Jewish Christians. That's his audience. It's the people who knew their Old Testament and knew it well. They knew the Torah, right? The first five books of the Bible, the law of God. So Matthew writes to those people in a way that they can relate to, that understands to them. So if you know anything about the book of Matthew and the structure of Matthew, that Matthew takes his gospel and he divides all of the teachings of Jesus into five sections that you can find in Matthew. Five of these extended teachings that he gives that sort of correspond to those Jewish Christians for whom this made sense. Oh, yeah. The word of God comes in these five books that they have, the Torah. So when Matthew is giving his gospel and saying, this too is the word of God, the words of Jesus, it makes sense to them that they would receive that in these categories of five. So what we read here today, Matthew 25, is from that fifth teaching section, the last teaching section. And what we read here, starting at verse 31 to the end, is the very end of that last teaching section. So this is kind of the conclusion, right? Matthew, in the way that he's packaged all the teachings of Jesus, is tying this all together in this one story, this last parable that we hear in this last teaching section that he gives in Matthew. It sort of wraps it all up. And it comes on the heels of a few other parables. Parables that are specifically about when Jesus comes again and what it means to be ready. To be people who are ready for the return of the King. He tells a series of parables about that. And this is the last one of those parables, which is about what it means to be ready for the King, but also goes one step further. Not just what it means to be ready, but here is what you do to be ready. Here is the activity that's involved in your readiness. Here is how you are to live as someone who is ready for Jesus, ready for God. And it's simply about helping, serving, doing things for other people. At least the way he illustrates it in that parable, it is. That he gives something of a context for us for serving others as people who are ready for God's kingdom to be fully restored, and how we anticipate that in how we live and in who we are. That's the story and the context around that. Now then, how does this fit into where we've been? So over the last 3 weeks, I've given this diagram of this directions, right? Of the different discipleship directions that we have and what we've talked about with that, especially as it connects to our mission statement as a church, loving God, growing relationships, and serving community. That loving God is that upward thing that we do through his word, that we know him through his word and love him that way. Last week, we talked about growing relationships and what that means for us to have accountability, that we hold one another up in faith, that we are strong together within that. And now then today, what it means for us to have outward discipleship, serving community, and what that looks like. You know, sometimes maybe we look at that and ask questions of how that all fits together. Serving and how that is a part of the gospel. Because we make efforts towards that. Right? Even within our own denomination, the Christian Reformed Church, we have different agencies or ministries that seek to pull these things together. We have two specific agencies that we work with, Resonate and World Renew. Those are both agencies of our denomination, the Christian Reformed Church. Resonate is the agency that works with all of our missionaries, right? Church planters who work here locally in our communities in this country, missionaries who go to other countries and other cultures around the world, those who seek to teach people about Jesus and plant new churches and grow new disciples, those all come under this big category of what we in our denomination have as Resonate global and local missions, that we work that way to share the gospel through that. And then we also have World Renew. Now, World Renew does something a little bit different. They seek to help people who need help. So around the world, that goes to places where people live in impoverished countries and bring food to those who are hungry, but then also teach and give support for sustainable agriculture so they can grow their own food. Going to places where people are thirsty and bringing water there, but then also bringing engineering and tools to dig new and better wells so that they can have clean water on their own there. Locally around here, often that takes the shape of disaster relief. That World Renew works within our own country by going to places that have been torn apart by hurricanes or floods or wildfires or other natural disasters. People have lost their homes and everything in it, and we seek to help them rebuild and get a fresh start again. We do those two things within our denomination. We share the gospel through missionaries and through teaching, and we help people who need help. But we do those things together, in partnership. That those aren't two completely separate things, but we know that in order for them to work, that they have to come together. That the gospel message all by itself, if it ignores the needs of the people, does not have the strong impact that we desire. And going to help people out just for the sake of helping them without sharing the love of Jesus along with that and sharing the gospel doesn't get them fully back to that relationship with God that we would desire. So we tie those things together. A message of hope always comes along with actions of hope. I can give words of hope to someone in need, but when I give those words of hope tied together with some actions of hope, that gives someone a hope, that those things take root together. And we do that here too. We do that here in this place. If you were to go to our church website and look at the menu on the top, there's one item on the menu that says ministries. And you pull down that tab and it has all the different discipleship ministries we have. Ways that we have of sharing the gospel and learning more about God and growing and teaching. Bible study groups to be a part of, small groups to be a part of, children's ministries, youth ministries, all those things that are there. Those ways that we seek to share the gospel and grow as disciples in that way. And right next to that is a tab that says community. You pull down on that one, and it's all the ministries that we have here that help other people here in this community. That's where we have the things like the blood drive and the Renucci house and the Devers house and the life skills class and the kids' food basket. All those things that we do that help people. But we do those things together. Not just one, not just the other, but we do both of them. Because it's that full picture of what it means to live as a disciple. Now, Jesus himself demonstrated this, right? Jesus lived this way. When he was on this earth, Jesus was one who went around and he would teach people. He would share the good news. He would give grace and mercy and forgiveness, compassion for people through his teachings and through his interactions with others. But Jesus also helped people with their needs, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, the lame could walk again, feeding those who were hungry, that Jesus himself demonstrated what it means to live as someone in this world who shares a message of hope through words of hope and through actions of hope in serving others that way. So where does that bring us today? How do we see that here today? So this story that we see, this parable that Jesus tells, is one that maybe should give us a moment of pause. Because somehow a parable like that is almost a little bit jarring. There's some judgment going on there. For those who are not doing this, it seems rather harsh. It's a word of caution that maybe you walk away a little bit frightened about that. What if I'm not doing it right? What if I'm not doing enough? Losing a grip on the grace that God gives, the hope that God gives, rather than seeing it as I think it's intended for us to be, as an encouragement of what God provides so that we can do this. What God gives so that his church will do this. An assurance that he gives us of how we can walk as disciples. So what does that look like? How does that work for us? Sometimes when I think about what it means to serve others, you know, I get caught in the trap of those in the Good Samaritan, that other parable that Jesus told. Those religious leaders who would come down the road and they would see this, man who was robbed and beaten, and then find an excuse to pass by. You know, I still desire to serve. I still want to do something for God. I still want to give back to God, but I sometimes enjoy the convenience of choosing myself whom I'm going to serve and when I'm going to do that and how I'm going to do that. I want to be the one who makes those choices. I'll choose who to serve and when to do it and how to do it. Even when there's an opportunity to serve that's right in front of me that perhaps I pass over. We all struggle with that from time to time, of those needs that may be right in front of us and we pass around. So how do we get out of that? How do we break ourselves into a place of seeing the needs before us and serving within that in a way that really embraces outward discipleship, that sees where this is going, that starts with the attention to needs that may be right in front of me? How does this parable help us see something of that? You know, I think one of the other things we see in this parable is we see the connection between serving others and serving God, that it pulls all that together. That Jesus says in this parable that when you serve other people, when you give for other people, you're serving God himself. You're serving the King of Kings. And that's a two-way street. That runs both ways. That when I think about what it means to help other people, and when we hear words in a parable like this, that when we help other people, that we are serving God himself, that God uses that in the other direction as well. That God himself is giving a measure of his grace and his love for other people by using us in what we do to help and serve others. That when I share something of my love and my concern for others and helping them, that at the same time, my prayer is that I am sharing something of God's love and God's mercy and God's concern through the actions that I give, through the service that we have, that those things pull together. That all of these pieces of discipleship, upward, inward, and outward, somehow work together. That they're a complete whole in who we are as people who follow God. That God uses all those things together within us. So where do we start with that? How do we do that? And over the last several weeks, I've tried to give something of a roadmap for this, something that helps us. So when we talked about upward discipleship, and I said, all right, if you need one place to start, one action, one activity, start by reading God's word. Start there because you know God through his word and you love God by getting to know him through his word. That's the one action we gave. When we talked about what it means to grow relationships, right? The one thing you can do is find that group of accountability. Find that place where you stand, where others help you stand in faith and you can help others stand in faith. Have that community, that place to go. Start there. Today too. So we have something practical to walk out of here with. How do I help others? How do I do this? Where do I even start? All these needs that exist around me, maybe I don't know where to go with that. It starts with this. Starts with the first thing you do is pick one household. Pick one household. And I say household just as a term to say, you know what, maybe it's one person, maybe it's a group of people, but it's isolated. I'm not picking a giant thing. Right, God did not call me to save the entire world. That's his job. But he can use me in a particular way. So pick one household. One household of someone or a group of people that you know that, who may be disconnected from church, disconnected from God, disconnected from his community. Wherever that is, whatever that looks like, maybe that's a coworker that you work with. Maybe that's another student that you have in your classroom. Someone that you know of. Maybe that's someone that you know from a sports team that you play on or the rec league that you're part of. Maybe it's someone that you see regularly and have gotten to know a little bit at the gym. Maybe it's someone who lives on your block, in your neighborhood, or down the hall in your apartment building. But pick one. Be intentional. Pick one household. Start with that. Then go from there. And the next thing is to pray. Pray for opportunity. Pray for an opportunity to help, to do something, to be there. Pray for an opportunity to come into that person's life and to give something to them that simply helps them. You know, when we think about this as outward discipleship, and often when we think about outward discipleship, we think about things like sharing the gospel and evangelism, and a scary word that is, and often then we shrink away from that. We shrink away from that thinking, evangelism, I don't know how to do that. I've never been taught how to do that. That's for other people. That's for people who've been trained how to do this. That's for missionaries who go out. That's for the pastors to do. So often we find those excuses for, that's not me. I'm not the one who does outreach. That's for people who know how to do that. But no, this is something that everyone can do. Because this starts with something everyone can do. Everyone can pick one household. Everyone can think of an individual somewhere who's disconnected from God, disconnected from church. Everyone can pray for an opportunity. Pray for an opportunity simply to do something to help, to give some support in some way. And then finally, pursue relationships, right? Pray for that opportunity that it may open a door for a relationship. Pick one household, pray for an opportunity, and pursue a relationship that you can get to know someone through that. Because I've said this before, nobody wants to be treated as a project. Nobody wants to be your project. They want to know that they matter as a person. And the way that we tell someone that they matter is in a relationship. And it comes by that method, right? Pick one, pray for an opportunity, and then pursue the relationship. This doesn't necessarily happen overnight. When I did this back when I was living in Denver on the block that I lived in there and picked one household of a family there to begin praying for, I prayed for over a year until that opportunity came. It had to be persistent, regular prayer to do that. And it wasn't just prayer for an opportunity that would break down the barriers in their house, but you know what? It turned out to be a prayer of opportunity that had to work my own heart, soften me, change me so that I would be receptive to help where the help was needed and to be open for that. It can take time. It doesn't necessarily happen overnight. It can take persistence of staying with that prayer over and over again. In looking for that opportunity to pursue that relationship. But when we do that, then we open the door. We open the door to share the gospel. Sharing a gospel which comes in words of hope along with actions of hope. That somebody receives that from you where it is an action of helping, of hope, of support. And along with that comes the opportunity for words. Simple words. Words from the heart. You know what? God loves you and you matter to God. That's why I do this. Because you matter to God, you matter to me too. That's why I do these things. That it shares something of the gospel with them. That it turns on a switch. Flips on a light, helps them to see something that maybe they've been missing, makes them hungry for more. Those things happen, and they happen through every one of us. They can. That every one of us can do that. We can all find that one household, that one person, and begin praying that prayer to do that. So how does this all come together in this discipleship that we have, where we've talked about the upward, the inward, the outward, that we add all of those things up in a way where 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals disciple. that we are disciples through those things. But we add those things up that way because all of these things are necessary. They are all critical ingredients of this. That maybe I walk away from this. All right, I've been here the last 3 weeks. I've heard the pastor preach about loving God with the upward, and I've heard the pastor preach about growing relationships with the inward, and now I'm hearing the pastor preach about serving community with the outward, and you know what? I may be good at one of those things, or I may even be good at a couple of those. 2 out of 3 isn't bad. That works, right? I'm over halfway there, and maybe that's good enough. Good enough that I've got my couple of areas where, all right, these are the ones that are discipleship for me, and that one, maybe that's other people. But what we see here today is that all three of those are needed. All three are necessary. They all work together. Because if you think about it, of having them separately by themselves, if you just have an upward discipleship, if it's just about loving God and that's it, and that's all you do, then really that's just intellectual spiritualism. Right? That's not discipleship at all. That's just pursuing an intellectual spiritualism of just something with me and God. And if all you do is just something of an inward of having my group of friends here, then that all by itself is just this closed social clique, a social club where I've got my place where I belong and you go find your place where you belong. And I just come here so that I can be with the people that I like and get along with. That's not discipleship. And if all you do is just help other people and reach out and just do those things all by itself, then that's nothing more than an attempt for social justice. I'm just trying to do what I can to make the world a better place, and that's it. All those things by themselves are not discipleship. But only when you take all three of them and put them together and work them together is there a healthy discipleship that runs out of that. So where does that leave you today? Where does that leave you as you look at and think about the last few weeks when we've been through this? Where you are at? What are those steps that you can take? Steps where maybe you can fill in the gaps where I've been missing, where I've been falling short, where I have not been walking that in the way where God has provided opportunities to do that. Where is that in your life? Where can you make that step? God provides these things. He provides so that we can have this balance of all three of these pieces. God has provided everything that we need. God has provided himself through his grace and his love and his sacrifice so that we are now free, free to live for him, free to follow him, free to be used by him. We are no longer enslaved by our own sin, but God can now take us and use us, and we are free to live for him that way. God provides what we need to love him, to reach up in discipleship for him. He provides his own word for us. He has revealed himself to us. It is his gift to us to do that we can know him, and God has provided that for us. God has provided his church, his community, his people, his church, which has stood for thousands of years as the place where we gather together and we have that relationship together and we lean upon one another for support and encouragement, that our faith then stands strong as we stand together. God has provided that, his church. And God provides. He provides the blessings that we have, the blessings that we have of material possessions, the blessings that we have of abilities and talents, blessings that he has given us to help others, that we can help other people who are right in front of us with needs that exist. So it begins. It begins. Pick one household. Pray for an opportunity. Pursue a relationship. Make that happen. God provides that for you. Get to know him through his word. Love him through that. It is a gift there for you. Be a part of a group of Christians who help support and hold one another up in discipleship. God gives that for us. All of these are gifts given by him to us. All of these are part of what it means for us to live as his disciples. All of this comes from God's hand given to us. Make that choice. Do that. Live in that way. Be a part of what God is doing here in this place, in this community, and in the world around us. Would you pray with me? God, thank you that you do give for us the gifts that we need to follow you. Thank you for your word and how we can know you and love you through that. Lord, thank you that you give us your church as a place where we can have relationships that hold one another accountable and hold us up strong in faith. And Lord, thank you for the opportunities that are right before us to help other people, to share actions of hope along with words of hope that can share your gospel message. Lord, help us to do this in ways that further your kingdom, that grow. Help us to do this in ways that bring us closer to you and bring others closer to you as well. We thank you for that. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.